Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore positive. We are positively. I'm fighting through my lottery tickets, ups and downs and ins and outs. We have Ravens scratch-offs to give away. We're here at Pizza John's. I turned the camera around because my neck got all cranked up the other day at Coco's. I'm going to have great guests today, and we're going to begin the show, hopefully, with a very, very high level of energy. The great Bill Cole is here from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. And Todd Schuller. Damn good lawyer. Blondell Miller Schuler. We are in the heart of Essex, and yet they let Dundalk guys over. We're going to honor the late, great Craig Heist because we're near Kenwood High School and around the corner from Chesapeake in the mighty Bayhawks. Do you guys think of Essex as and Dundalk as the same thing? Because, like, you neither of you are from Essex and Dundalk, but you seem to like to come and visit with me when I'm in Essex. And Todd, for your case, you signed up to be a part of a major Essex business in Blondell Miller Schuler, right on the avenue.
I'm a partisan. I'm an Essex partisan. My law partner is, of course, a Dundalk partisan, as are you. But no, I'm an Essex man.
I mean, I find them to be two distinctly different locations, although very close and adjacent to one another. But there are differences. So, yes, they're different for me. They're different locations.
Well, when my sign was crooked, and this is just me being, you know, funny. My sign was crooked earlier, and I was trying to fix it. And Sharon was here helping me. By the way, the women that work here, I tried to get them on instead of you. And they're too – you hear the orders. They're too – Sharon – who do I have? Sharon, I have Sue. But all the women that work here, you know, they were trying to come on a show, and they couldn't come on a show today. But I said to them –
probably would have been better content.
Well, my
couldn't agree more.
My apron was a little crooked, and I'm like, "Hey, you're in Essex. You ain't in Dundalk. Straighten it out."
Right.
So there's
tighten
my
up.
That's
tighten right.
it up. You gotta tighten
right.
it up when you're in Essex.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
How are you guys
right.
doing, man?
Good.
How's life?
Good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Everything's really fantastic.
You guys have known each other longer than you've known me, correct?
Aren't yes.
you
all?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
How do you guys know each other?
Multiple lives together.
Have right. I ever had you on the show together?
Never.
No.
No,
I
wasn't actually
I
sure.
Was
I just thought Bill was on during adult hour. I didn't know, you know.
I didn't know that if you put both of us together, whether this would break and just, you know, wouldn't work. I don't
I'm
know.
Just trying
it's
to get your
scary.
Microphones at a good level. So
yeah, no, we go up and down. We go up and down.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Am I? It's the big guy. When you say eating the microphone, it's always
sound
the fat
check,
kid that you're
check,
playing
sound
for that.
Check, you know. I want to dive into a lot of things with you, but first things first. I am in the middle right now, as we speak, about 4.5 hours into a weekend long, and I'll give Tony Robbins a plug. It's Tony Robbins AI Summit this weekend.
Wow.
So, you know, I've done a lot of things with Robbins. The reason Baltimore Positive exists, if anybody asked me, I did a fire walk with Robbins in 1994, which really begat my whole radio station and my philosophy. Then I got invited to do this Date with Destiny thing that I think you both were a part of my life at that point, about 7, 8 years ago, that created Baltimore Positive. The AI thing came to me through Mike Rosenfeld and you, Bill Cole, about 1.5 years ago, because Rosenfeld brought it to you. You started tinkering with it before anybody I knew. You and I did a segment maybe 1 year ago about it. It is now a ubiquitous part of everyone's phone in some way that you're getting offered. Even on Meta, anytime you put a Facebook status up, it's saying you want to know more about Todd Schuller, you want to know more about Bill Cole, you want to know more about Pizza John's. Like, it just prompts you into digging deeper, right? Like AI. I'm getting deep into this, and it's I've been in a moving vehicle that had no driver recently.
Oh, you did a Waymo?
I did a Waymo in Phoenix.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, I have moved to the point where now
I don't have the courage to do that yet.
What's led you to not want to do it? What's your fear?
I don't know. I don't want to get stuck in it. Like, I could tell you some nasty stories that won't let you ride in it again. It's crazy. We were at the airport. And I didn't know they had them in Phoenix.
You were in Phoenix. Okay. So
yeah.
That's where you got it.
Because I saw them in Austin first.
All right.
So I read about them. And then I didn't know that they were in Phoenix. At the airport, we're standing waiting for an Uber. And, I mean, it was one after another. I mean, there are
they're spinning.
Thousands
yes. Yes.
of these Waymos. And for the most part, we only saw one that didn't do such a hot job.
Hold on. Did you think about getting in one, or you just was not even considering it?
No. Well, we would have, but we already had an Uber, and we were moving on. But so we thought about doing it in Austin, but it was like a wait list kind of deal, beta test kind of, so we couldn't get one.
Vegas had a different thing. It had a different name.
Yeah.
And it only operated from 10 to 6, only operated on the Strip. We tried to get on it. We couldn't. But in Phoenix, we dove in. I mean, we literally,
cool.
we took the Uber. We stayed at a little hotel right near the airport. So we Ubered over, and then we saw them, three of them, like on the way over, a mile apart. And Jen's like, I'm going to download the app. And I'm like, well, I'm not fearful of it. So like, every old white guy I bring it up with, they're like, oh, new driver. Oh, yeah. And I didn't have that moment with it. I had the moment of, it's got to cost five times as much, right? Because it's kind of sexy. It's kind of different. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
It's cheaper. But also, and I didn't learn this, I took it at like 7 in the morning. The next morning, we took it for breakfast. So we're like, let's take it out when there's nobody out. Sunday morning, 7 o'clock. It doesn't go on the highway.
Right.
So it stays off the main road. So it can take you a little longer. Like if you're going from Towson to Essex in a Waymo, I don't know how it would go. Yeah. It probably would take like Essex Community College route and come around the backside in some way to like Stemmer's Run.
Yeah, Rossville, Northern Parkway.
But it would not take 695, right? So knowing that, it's a little slower, but it was definitely cheaper. And the minute we got in it, it started talking to us, and I was videoing it. And the first thing I thought is, am I safer getting in this vehicle right now than I would be having an Uber driver of any repute? From 0 to 100 on your Uber experiences, right? To the way they smell, to the way the car is, to like all of that. It was by far, it felt like I was in a limo. It felt sexy. It felt awesome.
It's a Jaguar.
We did it three different times.
Yeah.
It saved us money every time. It took us on an interesting route in Phoenix through this beautiful zoo. It took us through the Phoenix Zoo area.
Sure.
In a countryside kind of way, through some cacti. I would highly recommend it, but it planted the seed for me that all of our days of driving are over.
Yes.
For those of us worried about our eyes and our vision and night vision who are 57, if I, God willing, I live long enough to be 80, I'm never going to drive again after my 65th birthday. I mean, this won't. I mean,
right.
This is going to happen really,
I try
really
not to drive after dark myself.
Fast. Like, this is going to happen fast. As fast as you told me it was going to happen.
I don't know.
And Rosenfeld,
they're
it's
not
happening
that smart
fast.
Yet.
I don't know that it's going to go that fast because there's so much.
Two old white guys telling me how things aren't going to go
you
fast.
You know, Sarah Todd, Connor. That's where
right.
it gets
Todd's going to help a lot here. So if you think of the regulatory lift that you know, states have to adopt to be able to do this. I mean, this technology, those cars, they've been around for 5+ years, and they can only get them rolled out in 4 cities where, you know, there's some sort of lobbying that gets the right senators and to pass a bill that allows a driverless car. And, well, we're not going to let it on the highway or da da da. You know what I mean? So that's what slows it down. The technology, I'm with you. Think about the exit of the airport. And where all the cars are pulling in to like pick people up, and like
and you're watching it,
that disaster, and these things were spotless, moving in and
out.
I
had
of
a moment
like,
in the first mile.
You know.
I got in. We took the first one. We took was to get Mexican food at my favorite place, other end of the airport, just 2 miles, $10 ride, red lights near the airport. Very not a lot of people. We took a turn, and we came up, and you know people want to screw with these cars.
Yes.
That's what I didn't know.
Yeah.
That douchey drivers will try to get it to react, right? Someone pulled out of a stop sign that made our car deek. And it didn't have any problem with it.
Right.
It slowed down. It identified it in the same way when you back up and your car hits the stop because it won't let you hit the car behind you, right? Literally, someone tried to deke our vehicle without a driver and to freak out the passengers thinking we're going to get hit. This thing's way smarter than the Jack Wagon that was playing games with it. So we did have that moment where someone came at us, you know, the wrong way, you know?
I was listening to something this morning and they were talking about so people mess with them, to your point. And, like, the story is if you take a road cone and you, like, put it on its hood, it's done. Like, it doesn't know what to do with that, right? So people were doing it in San Francisco or whatever. This was early when they first came out. But
an unidentified object.
The
is
company,
what you're saying, right?
Yeah, the company now has data on the neighborhoods where the people are messing with them.
And it just doesn't go there.
And well, it's not that. That correlates to this lack of adoption of technology, and that data is useful to like all these other people now, right? Because if there's if this whole neighborhood is anti-driverless car, what else are they anti? Or what else are they pro? Like, what extrapolation from that data can they... Like, that's the kind of stuff that goes on, so...
One of the first things that happened to us when we got in there, A, it's clean, it's beautiful, it feels like a limo, it feels like my wife and I get frisky in there, we're on camera, but it also felt to me like this is the safest thing in the world because this thing's got cameras going in every direction, everywhere we go. Nobody's effing with these vehicles. That's the way I felt about it. I felt about, like, if you F with this vehicle, you will, you're on video. You know what I mean? It is a nonstop 24-hour moving video.
In my lawyer friend's world here.
Speak to me.
Well, I can get Spotify to play Fugazi's Waiting Room regardless of what 7-song playlist I put together. It's like, not that smart. It's getting on my nerves, frankly. I get pissed that AI's in my life.
I want to let the air out of his balloon here.
I thought you were liberal.
So, like, the number of people.
What does that mean anymore?
The number of people who are diving in front of these cars trying to get paid, and then they're like, yeah, but you're an idiot. There's 40 cameras on them, and the company is defending those lawsuits.
All right, so let's fully tell everybody who Todd Schuller is from Blondell Miller Schuller. You're primarily. From the advertising perspective and your billboards here in Essex, you get in the car accident, you want to be the first call.
Correct.
So I am in your lane here talking Waymo and AI, right? Like, AI in law is probably at the root of what the problems with AI are going to be, right?
Well, there'll be liability issues will exist. I mean, who's liable? Certainly not a driver.
What did I do dumb getting in the driverless car or smart as a consumer? What are your concerns with me if I'm your son or daughter?
My concern would be that as a consumer, you would have an expectation to be safe having entered this vehicle. And if that expectation was violated, whoever created the damn thing has a duty to you to protect you, and if they breach that,
so if
duty,
I got banged up
damage
in that thing, I would have called you or a guy like you 100%, in Phoenix.
100%, absolutely.
Well, and how would you look at that? How would you defend or aggressively try to get me as much money? What would you say about that?
Identify whose fault it was, and I'd pursue them. I mean, if somebody owes you a duty of care, right? That's essentially what it is. If I walk in to Pizza John's, I expect to be safe. I don't expect a hidden. You know, I don't expect
banana
a wet,
peel.
Soapy floor or a banana peel, right? I expect to be protected. I expect to be kept safe from hazard. Same in a car, right? Every other driver on the road owes a duty to the other drivers not to put them in danger. The manufacturer and or, you know, creator of these self-driving cars would be the liable entity as opposed to a driver, I would imagine, at this point, right?
Yeah,
you tell me. You're the lawyer.
I think so.
You're the damn good
the
lawyer.
The question. You know? I think where the gray lives is like, and I don't know what happens. I've only read stories, and you know, I'm skeptical that they're true. But like, if you get in an accident in a driverless car, it locks you in the car, right? Until it can deal with, because it can't deal with it. It doesn't. So like, if you get locked in the car, and there's a fire, and the batteries in the electric car catch on fire, like. These are the kind of horror stories that people are telling that don't want the Waymos to, like, be out there. So that is the scary part. And that's like, okay, what is the burden of care if you get in an accident in a Waymo? Like, if nothing happens to me, can I just get out of the car and walk away? Because, like, I didn't crash it. I'm not hurt. I have nothing to do with the other party.
I'm not operating it.
I'm not doing nothing. I was just
you may be a witness.
I am a witness.
And you may have duty
and
there.
And you got my credit card. You know who I am. I ordered the Uber, the Waymo off my phone, so you can call me
well,
later.
You can't leave a scene of an accident now where there was damage to an individual or a vehicle without exchanging information. I wouldn't get up and just walk out of the thing. I would make sure you had a...
Well, all
what's
of this started
my
as an
burden?
AI conversation, but go ahead.
What's my burden in an Uber?
I would think similarly, right? I don't think you can walk. I think you,
I think people run away from Uber accidents.
But you owe it to society to provide you.
I wasn't in that car.
I got out two blocks ago.
Well, we're having an AI conversation because I'm involved in this, but this is just one small little example of a million different things. And AI has written commercials for me this year. Thank you, AI. It has given me business plans, but I am using it as a Google search engine. I'm not really using AI to automate my WordPress and update my website and run my web flow and handle my billing, but I could. And in the last month, a lot of businesses have decided to do that, and that's going to affect employment here. As we have employment numbers this week that are huge, AI is the buzzword of next year for sure, above and beyond whatever fascism is trying to run the country right now.
All it does is tell me that I need to watch Yellowstone and make me listen to Fugazi's Waiting Room, which isn't a bad song.
Why are you trying to be a bury your head in the sand guy?
I'm not.
With this?
It's just like all it does is get on my nerves. What AI really is what Bill said it was, which is it's conglomerating our data and micro-targeting us with advertisements.
Were you the guy that was never going to get on the internet in the beginning?
No.
You were going to have a flip phone?
You still got your BlackBerry?
Do you have a flip phone?
I have an iPhone.
Okay,
I utilize technology.
Can I give you a dime and make a payphone call over there? What's wrong with you?
I'm just a big yawn on it all. I mean, I don't know.
It's a good thing that I have a forward thinker like Bill Cole here who knew about solar, who started thinking about the future a little bit, trying to micro-advertise to me.
That's when I experience it. As a consumer, my experience with the technology is it making money off of who I am and the independent decisions that I'm trying to make.
You sound like a college basketball player the last 100 years, right?
Where's my money? Yeah. Hell yeah.
Taking advantage of me.
Phone number at the grocery store. I'm a mess with them. I keep multiple phone numbers. I don't, where possible, enter my phone number if I know I'm not going to get
a
discount.
Do you have a burner account at the Giant or the Wise?
You say the people throwing the cones.
You don't want
them
to know what you're buying in the grocery store.
There's a basic human instinct to just say to technology, you know. Screw
I buy
you.
A lot of I'm ice cream, and then they give me ice cream coupons. Right. For that, I am grateful.
He has a lot of Grateful Dead, just like Resist the System, like Free Float.
Oh,
like he has a lot of that.
It's the man.
It is the man. It's the man.
I don't like the man.
Right.
And now the man is a computer.
He is anti
the man. Might be Elon Musk with your data from 8 months ago.
He's having a ball. Right.
I think I would say my thing with AI right now is
Nazi salute. Trillionaire. Done.
Right.
How's that?
How's that for your karma?
No problem. You want $1 trillion? On live television?
How do you do the math
saluting?
For that? How do you do the math? And the board got together and like, well, that makes sense. $1 trillion, no problem.
$1 trillion feels like a little bit more than $1 million and feels like a little bit more than, a trillion, billion, million feels like three steps in an ABC.
I love
that
the lawyers bang on my table with all my equipment.
Not even close to that.
Bang on the table. Bill Blondell taught me that.
Sal Palantonio banged on the table at the Super Bowl about 3 years ago, 5 years ago, for Joe Flacco. He's making the case, and everything went flying. He went, I think Joe Flacco, bang, and everything was just, that was the end of the segment. We were off the air, and that was the end.
All right, no more banging on the table.
Right. You could have just said that.
Get these damn computers away. You know what happened this week?
Todd Schuller is here. Bill Cole is here. What happened this week?
Tell them what happened.
What, you know what happened.
I don't know
what happened. The Maryvale Lions made a jump from B Conference to A Conference and took out the Maryvale Magic in penalty kicks in their first year.
Yes.
The
Mercy Magic.
Right.
In their first year in the A-Conf.
I remember. I'm so old with Mercy. I remember when they were the sharpshooters.
This is soccer that we're talking about.
You know what else happened? Baltimore Polytechnic took out City College for the first time since 2011. That's 14 years.
I remember when the City Poly thing didn't happen this time of year. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. I always went to Calvert Hall Loyola.
Well, no, it is. It is not happening when it's supposed to because they don't let it
but
anymore.
It used to happen.
It used to happen on Thanksgiving
Day. Used to be the tune-up game.
Well, thank God we have traditions like Pizza John's here. We can all get together and do things that we used to do the way we used to do and the way we like to do them.
Yeah.
Right. But AI is not going to change that.
Right. But just in case you missed it, what Todd was saying is that Maryvale girls soccer went from the B conference to the A conference and then went out and won the championship. Like, Yeah, there you go.
I'm okay, a plus.
Gotta love those lines.
Something. I was just trying to get something there.
That's all exactly
right.
What I said.
Right.
How's your kids doing at school? You want to give me a little?
They're good. No,
that?
They love it. It's basketball season, man. I've been in the gym for 3 days. Like, let's go.
All of these parental.
It's time
times.
To go.
Luke's like Uncle Luke. He's waiting in the wings. Grandpa Rasig was off. He couldn't be my co-host because he got grand twins in Brooklyn, of all places. He's eating good pizza up there. So people with kids and stuff, there is an immersion level of like. Maryvale is more important than anything that happened in your life this week.
100%. Sports are so huge. I was at St. Paul's BL. Just happened to go to that football game at Halloween. There's grown men who don't have sons on the team, who don't have sons. And they're there at their school rooting it on, right? Like, it's bananas. The next time Mercy gets a bite at Maryvale to get a little bit of revenge, Coach Bill Cole's going to be sitting on the court at the Maryvale Mercy Classic in January.
Yeah.
Coach Bill's going to be sitting there.
It's I think what it is it's the web of your community that, you know, the Ravens, we've resented how much money they make and the behavior that they have. And
I paid $100 last week to breathe their air, and they didn't even
speak
to me.
Correct. And the price you got to pay for a beer and like all that. Like, when you go to a high school sporting event, it's just the way it's supposed to be.
There's more pure. Yeah.
It's just the way it's supposed to be.
It's
right?
Also awful at times. Like, whoa! Sports can be terrible.
So tell me what you're doing. Fill everybody in on your coaching and immersion and your involvement in this.
I coach JV and varsity basketball at Maryvale. Yeah.
Time commitment. Girls, right? Boys.
Maryvale only has girls.
Girls.
So, yes. 100%.
Time commitment. Give me the whole deal.
I mean, it's every day. It's my afternoon and evening.
Do you have to cut kids?
We did.
All right, so I'm just thinking of the perils of the job here. I mean,
I don't know if we did, but like
I coach one basketball team.
That's
in my
complicated.
Life. Beano Ranson, and 8 o'clock in the morning over at Golden Ring. But it wasn't like my kid. It was my buddy who wanted to do it. I think it's a different thing when your kids are involved, your schools are involved, your alma mater. If I coached at Dundalk, it would mean more, no offense, than coaching at Kenwood.
But it would.
It just would.
It would.
It,
right.
it wouldn't mean the same to me.
But, right. like, we're a whole generation of crazy parents that spend thousands of dollars loading their kids into these travel soccer and travel volleyball and all these sports. Like, seeing kids play sports is like what we're like programmed to do. And therefore, I think there's an incredible market. I think the Baltimore Sun losing the box scores in the high school, the Cleveland Plain Dealer to this day, when I go home to see my in-laws, they have all the high school sports section that the Sun used to be. And like, if you want to sell a newspaper, you got to have that local sports touch to it. And it still feels so cool.
You
and
think it's possible to sell a newspaper?
I do. And I think if I was like
this
a Baltimore,
is the guy, remember what he just said about.
I'm going
AI.
AI
too.
Yeah.
Right. He just remember what he just said about AI. So let's just.
And I got
frame
Fred
this.
Flintstone here, you know, carving out the newspaper with a chisel.
If
you know,
I was a local
stone.
Media mogul, I'd be all in on local sports, on kids sports. I'd know that Coach Jack Stewart.
If you
and
only
the
knew
JV
how dumb
Calvin
an idea
Hall
this
Cardinals
is and how many meetings I sat in the last 35. You know I covered high school sports, right? Do you know this is not a business model?
I
isn't.
I would caution you to what I just said about this whole
generation
of parents.
I'd bring Gary Adornato over here, and he'll tell me it's a business model. I would tell him it's a tough one.
Why
That's
don't
what
you
I would
let
tell
AI
him.
Harvest some scores and some rankings for you and just pop them on the old Baltimore Positive website so that the sports loving eyeballs get there and learn all the awesome stuff that you and I have
just give
to
me
say
ideas
about the
and well, Mr. Would, AI and I, he doesn't I, know how possible that is.
I would just say to his point, to both your points, right? So I know you've tried over the years. I know you love local sports, and if there was a way to have a sustainable business model around
I'll give you an example.
High school sports.
And I'm not being disrespectful. Last night, I went to dinner at the Beaumont, and I ran into Larry Stewart, who's done my show at the Beaumont. Larry hangs at the Beaumont. It's his place. It's my place. I'm Coppin State sponsored. I love Coppin State. I'm all about that. Whoever did that basketball game on Monday night, the Hall of Fame, I kept saying, who did? He said the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame does these around the country, and they bring local. They didn't call me. They didn't email me. I didn't get a text. I didn't get a tweet. I'm the sports guy. If they're not texting me or the fan, who are they hitting? There was nobody at the game. I mean, if you saw any of the pictures, Maryland played. Coppin played. I mean, local schools played. All four teams had their thing, and there's nobody there. And I'm thinking to myself, there's your problem, dude.
I'm not sure they believe that's not a business model. I'm not sure they believe that anybody will care. I'm not sure that if they got you a press release that you'd run with it.
Other than Bob Haney himself, I am responsible for more words, more verbiage, and more love for Maryland sports over the last 35 years. I'm in second place, right? But no one cares. When they won the national championship 24 years ago, I went down to City Hall to see the parade. There are more people in Pizza John's right now than there were at that parade with Juan Dixon. So I hear you, and I wish sports were what it is in New York, or Boston, or you know, Chicago, or what. I've been doing this 35 years. I know where the money is, and I know where it isn't, and the eyeballs. High school sports, I love your passion for it. I haven't seen the business model for it.
It's not just my passion. If you could have been with those boys Latin graduates, not dads.
But they don't care about Glenn L. They don't care about Arundel. That's
the
problem.
Milford Mill is undefeated right now. I'd love to know how.
There was no way to do a sports radio show, and I tried for years on this radio station. It was my dream in 1998 to blow up local sports. I mean, PressBox put a whole thing out trying to get the rich schools to give them money, basically, right, which is the only business model there is. Let's get money from Gilman. Let's get money from Calvert Hall. You know, like that literally was the business model, right? But I would
the world is changing, so you got to listen to what's being said. You say the business model didn't work. Fine. Then he said use AI, which is a great idea. So if there's a very low-cost way to produce content that would then drive traffic, all of a sudden you've got the beginning of something.
The traffic part, let me just try to explain it to you how I know it, 30 years. 1998, if I was going to do a radio show about prep sports, which I tried to do all the time, you want to hear about St. Paul's. You might want to hear about Calvert Hall. But the amount of people interested in just City Poly or Calvert Hall Loyola or whatever the curly Calvert Hall rivalry or whatever girls, Mercy and IND had it forever, right?
Yes.
Forever.
There's a whole story there. You
got
to tell it.
There's a book there. I know that.
And at the last chapter of that book is Bill Cole.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to tell you that just sitting here listening, this is possible, but I'm not going to give it away.
Oh, you have the model.
To millions of people listening right now. Like, it's possible.
You've got the
I got to figure it out for you. But I'm not going to give it away.
All right.
Because the AI thing is interesting. What you just said about wanting to talk to, you know, the St. Paul's guy wants to hear the St. Paul story, and the BL guy wants to hear the BL story, and they're not going to listen to the same. I got it. It's fine. Let's move on.
Billy, pick
a different
topic.
Well, let's move on to this.
Pick a different
topic. Because last week I mentioned that I breathe the same rarefied air as Sashi Brown and Katie Griggs. I was in the same room with them. The interesting part is they didn't meet anybody. They left. And when they left, the second panel was really much more compelling than anything either one of them, corporate nonsense, they were saying. The NIL panel involved Dina Freeman from Morgan State and Steve Eigenbrot from Towson. A certain seafood purveyor from Dundalk, who I'm not going to talk about, was on the panel about sponsoring kids, NIL, local marketing money, how Pizza John's could find an Essex Community College special basketball player, soccer player, whatever it is, and their social stream would sell more pizza than I do being here for them from a marketing standpoint, or they just feel so strongly about the school and they're wealthy like Steve Bisciotti and they just want to get Maryland. I mean, the state of college sports, you guys are talking high school, you're talking about 13-month-a-year soccer girls and soccer boys trying to get money for college and all of that, playing club, not having multi-sport athletes in this generation at all. The college part of that, I just went through the four biggest local teams playing basketball to kick off a year in downtown Baltimore in a beautiful arena at a fair price, and they couldn't get people there. The college part of this is so fractured that when I sit in rooms, it makes my mind boggle more than AI does into how are college athletics going to survive, thrive, create interest across 30 sports in Penn State or at Maryland, and the funding part of whether this is education or not when we have coaches getting $60 million to leave their state schools. It's mind-boggling because it's not education anymore, and I'm not sure it's really sports. It's just a marketing come-on at Alabama and at Miami and at Penn State or whatever, and it's lost its way, but I don't know what that's going to mean to daughters who are swimmers or really pretty girls at LSU who can get money from a shoe company because they're just beautiful and they play tennis or whatever they do, but we're in a different world of marketing. For college sports will never, ever, ever be what we fell in love with it for. It's going to have to be something different.
I'm 6 weeks removed from watching Virginia Tech run out of the tunnel to Metallica's Enter Sandman in a forgettable 3-6 season. And it was way cooler than riding around in a car without a driver. I can tell you that. It was a monster. It was a crazy experience. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go. This is how my kids are going to tour colleges. We're just going to football games. I want to go check out. I was at West Virginia.
Every person I know that's our age, that has a kid that age, their kid goes to Alabama, South Carolina, Ole Miss. Yeah. And the whole deal is their parents are there getting hammered in the parking lot.
Yes.
And if it's going to cost you about $150,000 to send your kid to school for 4 years, am I being generous or am I being –
no,
that's about right?
I think it's going to be worse.
I don't want to sound like
that.
Trump. Not,
it's more than that.
See, I don't want to sound stupid.
That.
All right, $200,000. I mean, Enoch every weekend at Alabama. My friend Shannon, kids go to Alabama. Pete and everybody I know, South Carolina. You know, somebody I had a kid at Ole Miss the other day, and I'm like – how the hell did your kid get the old – I don't know. Where are your kids going?
I don't know.
Maryville.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I mean, look, the SEC is inviting to everyone in this region, right? Like, go south. Like, who says to their kid, would you like to go cold? You know, like some do, but, you know, they go Big Ten, right? And then they're the ones you really lose because they go to Michigan, they go to Indiana, and then they end up in Chicago for the rest of their life because that's where you go after you leave those schools. And they never come back to Baltimore. So at least I think
at
the
least
southern
kids
come
home for
they
the work.
Back.
See,
yeah.
I don't want to talk about college sports, but both of you at this tender age with sons, daughters, and whatnot, you have this fear of losing your children all of a sudden, that your college choice should be some awful rednecky a place that's so terrible that they only want to go back on weekends, they would come back to Baltimore and make a life here.
That wasn't about
afraid
my
of losing
kids.
Their kids.
No, that wasn't about my kids.
He's talking about the brain drain.
That's just
of it all.
That's just generally like part of the problem with our civic, you know, situation is that some percentage of our kids leave and go to the Midwest and don't come back because Chicago's pretty cool, right? The other
nobody
percentage.
Comes back from New York.
I
yeah,
Chicago.
I mean, like,
you can have Chicago.
We do a nobody relatively decent job. Yeah. We do a but you got to think about it. If you're 20 something in Chicago, it's pretty nice. But we do a reasonably good job of attracting Northeasterners to come down to the Loyolas and the Marylands and the Hopkins, and then we hold
I've
on.
I've never met a girl in town or Loyola that wasn't from Jersey.
Oh, that's fine. Exactly. That's
I never met a girl at College Park that wasn't from New York.
Yep.
Period.
And that's
I never understood it.
That's their version, right, of us going to South Carolina or Clemson or Alabama or whatever. I mean, it's the same kind of
thing.
But
you come back from Clemson. If you go to Philadelphia for the first time and see it,
what
a city looks
Clemson,
like with actual
home.
Public transportation, you're like, I'm never leaving
Clemson.
Here.
It's right. A good place to get drunk and fish, and then you come home.
Exactly. Right.
Now, my mother's from that part of the world. I do think the more of us I know – and my kid lives 2 miles from here, and your kid might live in Alabama, and you might see him more, like literally, right? But for me, like losing your child on a college tour, everyone I know has taken their kid. My buddy John's take his daughter's in Miami, his other daughter's running around. They're all of this age, and their biggest fear is my daughter's going to go to Miami, and she's just done with Columbia, Maryland, and it's over with.
Yeah.
And she's never coming home. And that's why mommy's bawling her eyes out when she's packing the bag up in September, because you feel like this could be over. If they choose college, they pick a place they really like, they're not coming back.
Bill's bigger concern is the sustainability of this beltway, which is still missing a hunk over the water right down the road.
And I got stuck in traffic last night because of that. Took me an hour to get to Catonsville.
Yeah, just to try and bring back the original question. So college sports is really complex right now because we've done such a good job of raising the price of college, right? It's totally crazy, and it's all about the experience. Well, that
creates all this pressure on these average to above average athletes who are being told that they could get a college scholarship. And everybody knew, oh, college. I mean, that's $80,000 my parents
are. Even if it's Shippensburg, like, right. Even if it's right. So, it doesn't matter where it is.
So
right?
The whole youth sports universe feeds on that.
Oh, I know this.
Right? And they're trying to make a living on that because Susie might be good enough to go D1 and get some money. And so now she's
and there's more money
playing
for girls.
Soccer. Right. She's playing right. Soccer, yeah. You know, to your point, 12 months out of the year and can't do anything else. You're not allowed to go away for vacation. You're not like, you know, and it just feeds itself. And then when they do get that money, that is life changing to a certain degree, right? Like if the six other girls in their circle get $300,000 worth of college debt when they're leaving, and the one who got to play on a D2 school playing soccer but got it paid for, like their trajectories when they walk out the door at the end of that 4 years is massively different. Massively different.
My cousin, my female cousin, who's probably about 44 now, she was a serious tennis player in San Diego. I mean, she played with Julius Erving's daughter, and she played with a girl that went to the 8 in the U.S. Open. She had good friends, played club tennis in San Diego. Not easy to do. She got a scholarship at Arizona, and she went for 4 years, and it was completely her meal ticket. Like, she's like, the minute she put the racket down when she was 23, I don't think she's picked it up in 20 years. Like, literally. Not her daughters, no one. She's done. Because it was 25 years ago, it wrecked her hip. She had to have surgery. Just all of that, right? And I feel like there's a part of it that I still loved sports because I didn't... Oh, not from a radio standpoint, but from a playing it, I never had to immerse and make it my meal ticket in that way. Whereas if you're a 16-year-old girl, you feel like, I'm letting daddy off the hook for 200 grand or I'm not, or if I rip my knee up in senior year or whatever. I mean, that's a kind of pressure that we didn't feel when we were
Andre
in high
Agassi,
school, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that wasn't the way it was in Dundalk.
I mean, look, there is something to be said for a kid who puts in the dedication, does the work, makes the team, goes off to school, plays college sports. Like, the sacrifice that you make from your college experience to be a college athlete says a lot about who you are and how you're going to be when you leave college. Like, I can juggle my time. I'm willing to sacrifice partying because I want this greater good over here. You know what I mean? So that says a lot about their character. But I think the bigger issue that I have is the lack of education for parents around all of that. You know, like nobody's given, no, there's no incentive for the parents who have been scorned, right? Or the ones who missed the mark or didn't, you know, like, is Susie really going to make it? Or am I just getting a bunch of stuff? And then the difference is, we talk a lot about this as basketball people, like, the number of scholarships that are available for women's basketball players versus the number of scholarships that are available for women's soccer players or women lacrosse players. Like, they're much bigger teams. But think about how our universe works. How much money do you think they get? Do they get the same? Do you think they get different than basketball? There's only 12, 15 girls on the basketball team. There's 35, there's 40 girls on the lacrosse team. So, like, how many full scholarships are actually being given to girls in lacrosse?
But see, you're in a different point. You're talking scholarships. The world's talking NIL. The world's talking, how does the girl playing lacrosse at Stevenson get a sub shop down the street to give her $500 a month to
even better than that?
Like,
even better than
that.
Right. Even better than that is the girl at St. Paul's. Why doesn't she get $500? Because she's driving all the girls at St. Paul's to go to the Jamba Juice or whatever that place is right down the street, and they're literally making their living on this school. So that, I mean, and there's, I don't think there's any rules that prevent high school kids from getting NIL money. Like, you don't lose your eligibility. Like, there's no issue. And that's an even smaller community where one really influential kid drives the traffic of that whole circle.
John Carroll gets a kid that can play basketball, and everybody in Bel Air wants to chip in $500.
Right.
Literally.
Definitely.
Right.
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 Todd Schuller's here. Bill Cole's here. Just to reset on radio. We're Pizza John. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Luke and Rasigar coming up next. We took a deep dive off the AI boat into college athletics, and we never even got to the AI thing, which was me like learning about it and being excited about it.
I feel like that was me that jumped out in front of that electric car and tried to derail it.
Yeah, you did. You did. It's okay. My only statement on that was that I feel every day that goes by that I'm falling farther behind.
And you are.
Right.
Him.
That's what scares me.
Dude, every day that goes by, I'm glad I'm still
this
alive.
This is going to be this videotape. I'm going to bring it back later on. It's going to be like when they had, Matt Lauer and Katie, whatever her name was, with what is the internet? Or was Brian Gumbel?
Yeah, what is the internet?
Right. You know?
Yep.
What is AI? I'm not touching that AI. Can't touch that.
Give me my flip phone back.
Right. How dare we embrace progress. We're not going to do that around here.
Now, I left my smartphone in the car, and I'm, like, feeling that
Don't
panic.
You feel nice?
And I can see my car out the window.
And that's not entirely fair, because he's playing old crotchety guy right now, but, like, once he adopts
it. Crotchety
once
guy,
he adopts it, like, yeah.
Gray hair,
crotchety. He's like, you know, what would he do? How would he post all the time on Facebook
guy.
If he didn't have an iPhone? So I'm not trying to, you know, like, once
it's like
he.
It's Moonstruck. Snap out
and,
of
like,
it.
Snap how
out
much
of
don't
it.
Don't fall in love with
how
it.
Much
relax.
Do you love.
It's
how much do you love Spotify?
It's a fad. It's a fad.
I love Spotify, but it pisses me off that I got to hear Fugazi's Waiting Room. And before that, it was remember the Hawaiian dude that sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
What? What's wrong with you?
Every time my playlist runs out, it goes to the same song.
Well, pick a better song.
I don't pick it.
He's
it just
not
tells
dude, did
me
you get one of those iPhones that played
U2
every time you didn't want it to?
Yes.
I have one of those.
Yes.
I'm just saying,
the man is everywhere, Bill.
Right. I'm just saying, once Todd figures out how to use it and it brings value to his world, then he's on board, and he's a very loyal fighter at that point.
I will bore the stuff out of you the second I'm into it.
Right.
I saw 5 minutes of Charlie Sheen last night. I've told everybody, you got to see Charlie Sheen.
Yeah,
that's
a good one.
Well, you're on Spotify, and I still have an iPod with a cord.
Yes.
So,
right.
and I
crotchety old guy. You're a lot older than I am, with a cord.
You know why? Because this is not a music device. This is a communication device. And it ain't a phone, even though you might think it is.
It's a great jukebox. And if you trade your iPhone in and you could keep the old one and just never have calls interrupt your jukebox, you're in heaven.
Just think about how crazy it would be if we went back in time 20 years ago, and we've all known each other about that long, and I told you, in your hand, there's going to be this thing that's going to answer every question. Like, you would have never have believed it. And you would have said, well, the battery must last an hour, right? Like, all those challenges that your mind would have gone through then. And here we are.
Yeah.
You know, here we are.
The trade-off, we just dumped democracy instead. It had nothing to do with the phone.
I was going to go to the fact that we haven't figured out how to keep the engines on the planes.
Yeah,
like that
yeah.
seems like something we should have solved by
some
now.
Stuff.
But,
we're
you know,
stubbing some
We got toes. This. There's a – I don't know where I read it or what it was, but it was like our priorities are completely screwed up because if you think about how we spend our money, right, like we're trying to make chocolate chocolatier. We're trying to make – women's bras, push-up, you know what I mean? Like, these are the things that we're spending R&D dollars on as opposed to some of the other things that are out there in the world that we could be solving.
Like, hey, Siri, where's the starting pitching?
Right. Or SNAP benefits or just little things like that.
Anything.
For people to,
I mean.
In the richest country in the history of the world.
I don't really even want to go talk about
we're
that.
We're so great that we starve our children. It's beautiful.
I don't want to
Todd Schuller is here. Bill Cole is here. I love them both dearly. Best damn lawyer. Damn good lawyer.
Damn good lawyer.
Damn good lawyer.
Damn good lawyer. It's not that complicated.
Tell them what you do. Come on. Tell them what
Nail
you do.
That thing.
Hey, workers' comp, car crashes, construction accidents. If you slip and fall, if you are injured, call Blondell Miller and Schuller.
Soccer
take care of
results,
it.
Right?
Well, I'm going to be tuning into Baltimore Positive for the local sports flair. I can feel it already. Bill Cole's got ideas.
I just know a good idea from a bad idea, and you had a good idea because solar is a good idea. Tell everybody why.
Well, because electric rates are going up, and it's an investment that has a return, so you can do things to offset some of those costs. I mean, it's an evolving world, right? Like, it is very much impacted because we've allowed it as a product to be impacted by regulatory decisions, and currently we're going through a group that doesn't appear to want to make it more readily available. So it's a little bit of a challenge time in the solar world. But at the end of the day, like I just always tell people, and I've told you this a million times, like, you should know what it costs. you should be able to see what the returns are, and if it makes sense, you buy it. If it doesn't, you don't.
I mean, everyone's got a roof.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I'll say on your behalf, I flew home last week from Nashville early in the morning on Friday, and as the plane was descending toward BWI, you know, you see streams, you're like the Severn, like, hey, is that Pashotti's house? Where am I? Oh, I see the Navy Tower. Oh, there's the, you know, you see things when you're coming in. As I was coming in and getting lower, I saw more solar fields. It felt like Anne Arundel County. Like, that's where I was. I mean, and I looked over, I'm like, never would have known that was there. You know, you're driving down New Cut Road or whatever, and maybe off on a farm. You just don't know until you get up above how, that it is more prevalent. That's all I'm saying. I see it more often from the sky.
Look, the best way to generate electricity is right above where you're using it, so you don't have line loss. Like, that's not debatable. We have all these open roofs that we don't do anything with.
I don't know anything about line loss. I just learned something, I think. I'm going to have to Google that, but go ahead. This is a new concept to
me. You can just trust me on that one if you want. You could use AI.
Repeat it again so I understand it. The greatest was right here. What is it?
Some of the electrons go away when it has to travel over far periods, right? Long distances. You lose some electrons. It just happens.
That's why tall guys like me aren't as smart. There's too much line to travel.
Just like losing brain cells when you do drugs.
What?
Right? Yeah, exactly. Right. Kind of like that. Okay.
I don't really know how to give you an analogy. I'm just telling you that this is what I've been told.
It's not a drug. It's a plan. I've done the research.
True.
You know?
So we want to generate it right above us. We want to use it right here. Best, most efficient way to do it, right? And we have flat, open roofs that all they do is keep water out. So if there's a cost-effective way to do that, we should figure that out. That's all.
Roofing and solar for dummies.
Yeah.
Rasig even understands it, but he's drawing a cartoon of it over there right now. Todd Schuller is here. Bill Cole is here. I love them both equally. You owe me a mug, dude. I got to get a mug.
I know. I never think of that when I'm in the, you know,
if
the,
you got Luke
the place
a,
where the mugs
a,
are.
A Cole roofing hat, he wouldn't wear it because he's wearing his Peter John's hat all the time.
Okay.
Sort of glued to him right now. So when I invite...
You're off the list. No hat for you.
He didn't even have to go to practice today. They might not let him into the games anymore because he skipped the practice because, you know, that's the way it works. But he decided pizza was more important than the injury list today. So we're getting ready for football. We're getting ready for baseball. Rasig, Luke, and I are going to have a baseball conversation, a real baseball conversation. It's going to be fun. We're Pizza John's, Luke's favorite place, my favorite place, certainly in Essex, amongst other things. I've already had crinkle-cut French fries, proper gravy. Somebody else got into them over there. I got a small pepperoni and green pepper pizza. That way my wife won't have any because she won't eat the green peppers. Get to keep it for myself. And a delicious Cobb salad there, so I'm ready to go. Chef salad.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go put my order in so I can take some food home and maybe my family will like me more.
Upsize it for me, all
okay.
right? Take him something good.
Yeah.
Get him a cheesesteak or something like that. I am Nestor. We're Pizza John's. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is presented by the Maryland Lottery along with our friends at GBMC. I don't want to mix food and duty, but my colonoscopy is 2 weeks from Friday. I will not be doing the Crab Cake Tour on the 21st, but I will be doing my duty, getting the PSA, doing all the important things, hopefully getting the clean bill of health so that I can get on with the remainder of the off season. How about that?
There's so many.
D-U-T-Y or D-O-O-T-Y? I'm having a hard time with your mixed metaphors.
Yeah, that was so good. And I like this whole action he was giving us. It was terrible.
I'm going to go eat pizza. Get rid of these guys.
Fighting us into
I used to have friends in Essex. Stay with